Hello, all you friends out there in internet land. This is a recording of a repeat of Sunday's sermon. I was on sound inadvertently and forgot to record it. So I'm recording it myself on Wednesday. So you may just have to imagine for yourself the laughter of the audience at my lame jokes. You may have to imagine the excited hallelujah amens that would have exploded from the crowd. You may have to imagine a certain air of performance energy that would come from having lots of people in the service. Anyway, here is my sermon from Sunday, retold for your listening pleasure. Now, as we head into the new year, we are going to look at the book of 1 John. Today's sermon comes from 1 John 1, verse 1 to 2, verse 11. Now, as we head into the new year, everyone is telling us to be true to yourself. Now, I saw just this morning that the word of the year for dictionary.com is existential. It's the year of working out why you exist and who you are. Everyone wants you to make sure that you know yourself. You do, and you do what is right by that. But it's tricky to know exactly who you are and what being true to yourself means. I had a wisdom tooth removed recently, and while I was in the dentist chair, the dentist, he injected me with anesthetic to make my mouth go all numb, and then he left the room for a little while. And while I was waiting for my mouth to just lose all feeling, I started a conversation with the dental nurse. Now, she was a lovely lady from Japan. I asked her how long she had been working there, and just a few questions just about being a dental nurse. And she told me that when she started her training, she wasn't sure if she would like the job. And looking inside people's mouths all day, but she was surprised that when she started, what she really liked was looking at blood. When there is blood in the mouth from the tooth, she got really interested and found it fascinating to just look at. People had told her, watch out, make sure that blood doesn't make you feel sick or something. But instead, she found that it was fascinating to watch. It's interesting that it is perhaps not the best thing for her to share with someone who is about to have their tooth pulled. But it's interesting that we don't always know who we are, what we'll enjoy until we experience it. Now today, as we begin to look at the letter of 1 John, John is going to remind us of who we are in Christ. He's going to tell us who a Christian is and show us what we need to do to walk in that. Now, as we delve into the book of 1 John, you may notice that John is not Paul. He writes in a very different fashion. Paul uses the art of rhetoric to lay out carefully considered arguments and raise objections to those arguments and then debunk those objections until you get to one of Paul's wonderful therefore statements, which tell you the takeaway message of all of that verbal jousting and toing and throwing that he has done. John does not write like that. Now, if you've read through the book of 1 John recently, you'll know that he says some things and then moves on to other things and then quickly comes back to other things. And the idea that he had before, he gets back to that one again and then he fleshes that one out a bit more. And then he moves on again quickly. And when I read it, sometimes it sounds like he is forever qualifying what he has just said until he gets all tangled up into knots, and instead of untying them, he embraces the knot and just keeps going. Now, this is not because John is silly or less Holy Spirit inspired than Paul, but it's because he's using a different method of writing than Paul. 1 John is actually highly structured. It's just that it's cyclical in nature. So John goes back and forth and around between related ideas, not to confuse linear thinkers like me, but to create this swirly ball of emphasis. So each idea builds like a snowball. And you end up in a place where if you have read it in its entirety, in one sitting, as would have normally been the case, you can't deny the few main points that he has made. Now, we are not going to do that. We are going to go through the book over the course of January, and we will follow John as he affirms us and what we believe, and also reminds us of what we don't believe. Now, one of the interesting parts about the book is that John is not writing it because the recipients have committed some grievous sin or because there are people in the church doing the wrong thing. He writes it because they're doing the right thing, and he wants to encourage and affirm them in that. Now, it seems that in the churches that he is writing to, there has been some problems, and there were some heretics trying to persuade them of some bad ideas. And those people have since left, causing hurt and turmoil in the church. So John is writing to the church that he loves so that they will remember who they are in spite of the hurtful events that have befallen them. So as we look at 1 John, we'll see that he repeats ideas and expounds on them. We will see that he is a little difficult to follow sometimes, but we will be reminded of who we are so that we can have loving, joyous fellowship with God and with each other. So John starts out by reminding him of where his authority comes from, and that is from being a witness to Christ himself. So in the beginning of chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, he says that they saw, heard, and touched Jesus, and so they passed their knowledge on to us so that we can have fellowship with each other, with God and Jesus, and have complete joy. Now, the message that makes this joyous, joyful fellowship possible is what John wants to remind us of today. The first thing that he wants to affirm us in is that Christians are people who walk in the light of God. Now, this is very simple. God is light, and in him there is no darkness. And we need to walk in the light to have joyous fellowship with each other. Now, I find this kind of message the most annoying in the Bible. Now, it's kind of what Proverbs goes on about all the time. It sort of goes, God is good, so you need to be good, and it is good to be good. So don't be bad, because being bad is bad, but you should be good, because being good is good, so be good. And I read these sections, and I am sometimes like, wow, thank you. I had no idea that being good was good and being bad was bad. I feel very enlightened. Thanks. However, now that I am a little bit older and I have probably spent a lot of my life trying to be good, I kind of get it now. Having a set of ethics that are generally more strict and difficult from the rest of society is hard to maintain. I'm at a point in my life where I've spent it trying deliberately not to make money the motivation for my actions, trying to be a loving, faithful husband, father, church member, a good citizen. And when I look around, I see many people not trying very hard to do those things. And it seems that those people get to do whatever they like without repercussions. Now, to pick a silly example, to be a good citizen, one of the things that I like to do is put my trolley back in the right place when I go shopping. I hate it when I look for a parking spot, find one only to have the chosen spot have someone left their trolley carelessly in the middle of the spot. So I have to park halfway in, get out, move the trolley to a safe place, if that's even possible, get back in the car, park properly, and then take that trolley to the trolley return on my way into the shop. So even though I am diligent about correct trolley return, I never benefit from it. All it ever does for me is add a couple of minutes walk on the end of my shop to return the trolley while juggling tired, hungry children who will say that they need to go to the toilet the second that we get in the car. It is in those moments that I need to be reminded that God is light and there is no darkness in him. And the key to perfect fellowship is to walk in the light with him. When I see people on TV treat people as commodities, to take from them and leave without remorse and repercussion, while I stress and care and bend over backwards trying to love and care for people, that is when I need to remind myself that God is light. When I see fathers who are less committed to their children, who leave all the work to their wives, and they seem to get all the sleep and leisure time that they want, I need to remind myself that God is light. When I see those who have chased money, living luxurious lives with better things than I have, I need to remind myself that God is light. When things are hard but seem easier for people who don't seem to care, people who want to prioritize their pride over love, people who want to take rather than give, then John reminds us that God is light, and the only way for joyous fellowship with him and each other is to walk in the light too. Christians are people who walk in the light. So how do we walk in the light? Well, the second thing that John wants to tell us about how we walk in the light is that we keep God's commandments. I've skipped the first thing, but I will circle back to it. You can tell someone who knows God and walks in the light because they follow what God says. If they say that they know God and don't do what he says, then they are liars. So the people who have perfect, joyous fellowship with God and each other are the ones who do what God says and walk in the ways that Jesus did. Sounds easy, huh? So now that we have this impossible standard to live by, I will circle back to the first thing that John wants to remind us about people who walk in the light. And that is that they are, by their own confession, sinners. If we go to verse 7, he says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." Christians who walk in the light are people who are sinners and confess their sins. If we claim otherwise, we are liars. Now, the interesting thing about this is that John doesn't remind us this so that we can have a free pass for sin, but he says in the next verse, he writes this so that we don't sin. He wants to remind us that even though Christians are people who walk in the light, they follow what Jesus has done, they are also people who are honest about their own sin, and they rely on Jesus for their forgiveness. Then God no longer holds our sins against us and removes the barriers to joyful fellowship. A Christian walks in the light, but not as some perfect liar lording their position over others or acting as though they were superior. As we know, this kind of attitude is actually a barrier to joyful fellowship. A Christian is someone who walks in the light knowing that they are lucky to be there. Whenever I go to Sydney, I'm usually in awe of everything that is around me. That is after I have found a safe place to park and no longer have the stress of driving and navigating. When I've found a nice, safe park and have a chance to look around, I see the high buildings around me. I feel the wind rush by them. I see the well-designed waterfront and I soak in the wonder of it all. And I walk around looking about with my head on a swivel. And one of the things I notice looking around with my head on a swivel is that no one else is. Everyone else walks around with their head facing down. They're not excited about where they are. They're only annoyed that they're not already where they are heading. The wonder and amazement of the city has worn off on them. Christians are people walking in the light with their head on a swivel, knowing full well that it is amazing that they are there. We don't deny the darkness that we create. We confess it and ask for forgiveness. Then John goes on to tell us how this is possible. This is possible because Jesus advocates on our behalf and has already paid the penalty for all of the darkness that we cause. So there is absolutely no danger in confessing now. There is no danger in admitting that we are sinners. There is only danger in pretending that we are perfect. Jesus is our lawyer, so we need not fear the judge. This means that we can have joyful fellowship without shame and guilt and pride getting in the way. We need no pride or pretense because we know we are not in the light by our own merit. We need no guilt or shame because we know that our debt is paid for. We walk gratefully in joy and wonder. So now that we have been reminded that we are walking in the light, following the commandments, but confessing the times that we let a little darkness in, and also living free of guilt and shame, John wants to remind us of one more quality that we are that helps us to live in joyful fellowship. The other quality is easy to understand, but John finds a tricky way to talk about it. He says, "Beloved, I am writing to you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you've had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I'm writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining." So, it's an old commandment that's new somehow. He then goes on to talk a lot about love. So we can see that the commandment he's talking about is love, but how is it both a new one and an old one? Well, we know that loving one another is the second commandment that sums up all of the others. So in a sense, it is not new to Jesus, but I think John is trying to say that it's new in Jesus, because it takes on a different significance. John says that the command to love is true in Jesus and in us because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. The thing that has changed between the Old Testament and the New is that now this love is not some stale command to decide about in the temple courts, but a true quality that is embodied in Jesus and by extension, each of us. He says that in us the true light is shining and the darkness is passing away. For the Christian, now God's light is shining in them as the remaining shadows of darkness are being sought out and brought into the light. The Christian now has love being embodied inside them, like Jesus. So Christians are people who love. But just as those who walk in the light cannot walk in darkness, those who love cannot hate. If you want to have joyous fellowship with God and each other, then hate is something which will only cause us and others to stumble. John reminds us again of what we are not. If we are people who love, then we are not people who hate. This does not mean that we are not to get upset or annoyed by each other. John is actually not concerned with emotions or talk, but he's concerned with action. He holds little stock in what people say, but wants to know that your actions line up with who you really are. If we want joyous fellowship with each other and with God, then we are to love in actions and not hate in actions. Now, John will flesh this out later as he circles back around to this idea. But for today, here he reminds us that we can follow God's commands now as we have the light shining in us and the shadows are just being sought out and brought into the light. Hating each other is what people who walk in the darkness do. So John has been reminding us of who we are. Christians are people who walk in the light. They do this by doing what God has told them to. But they do not do this out of guilt or shame because their darkness has already been paid for. Instead, they strive for loving, joyful fellowship with God and with each other, not afraid to confess their sins, own their actions, and be ready to move on in love. And finally, John has shown us that Christians are people who love and do not hate. Hate blinds and causes stumbling, but love walks in light and causes joyous fellowship. So as we head into a new year, remember who you are. Do not start 2020 with the same list of failed resolutions that you did in 2019. Remember that we are people who walk in the light. We follow the words of Jesus, not because we feel guilt or shame if we don't, but because they are good things, and it is good to be good. When 2020 tries to tempt you with the same lies of 2019, that try to trick you into thinking that the sin that you struggle with is somehow going to give you what you want, remember that we are people who walk in the light. We are after joyous fellowship with God and with each other. Jesus did not give us commands because they are bad for us, but because they are a better way to be. And when you fail, do not wallow in your guilt or shame. That is just another shadow that is yet to pass away. That is another sin that has already been paid for. Confess it. Remember that Jesus is your advocate and remind yourself that you walk in the light. When you feel anger and hatred and you're ready to turn thought and emotion into action, remember that you walk in the light, and while you feel hatred, you act out love. In my experience, when I have acted lovingly towards someone I don't like, my emotions tend to follow my actions and my attitude changes towards them. I end up liking them more. I don't tell you these things because I think you do not know them. I tell you because you know them. I tell you because when you are tired, they are hard to remember. I tell you because you want to have joyous fellowship with God and with each other. And sometimes we just need to be reminded. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we head into 2020, help us to be people who walk in the light. Help us to seek out those dark parts within us and bring your light into them. I pray when we do mess up that we will confess our sins before you and move on, knowing that that is the first thing that John tells us about how to walk in the light, that you have forgiven us and paid our debts. I pray, Lord, that as we head into 2020, we'll be people who act out love, even though we may feel anger. I pray, Lord, that we'll be people who walk with you in joyous, wonderful fellowship. I pray these things in Jesus' name, for your glory. Amen.